You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Liz, our kids are leaving. Thank you all for being in here this morning, okay? Y'all, have a good time. Thanks for saying that and clapping for them. Luke 24, 48 and 49. We've been staying in Luke 24 for some time. We read, "You are witnesses of these things, and look, I'm sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room, and I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. It's already becoming an emotional day. I'm glad that we have learned the word flexible through our 28 years together. And the reason Tyra is saying amen, and the reason that I'm saying that is Tyra and them, the kids ran them off from their regular spot. They moved over here, and then the Stewart home ran them off from their regular spot, and then they moved over there. So, that's it. That's right. I'll take that. What she said. Okay, what she said. So, moms, I want to bless you today on Mother's Day with 2 Timothy 1:5. It's my personal favorite about a declaration of a legacy of faith. It's Paul writing to his son Timothy in the ministry, not his biological son, but his ministerial son. "Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also." Some of my counseling and pastoral care to mothers is you hang in there and keep the faith. I know we want response now that our kids are getting it, but you're probably not going to get that response from them until later on in life. But what they'll remember, and I'm going to specify mom since we're talking about a grandmother and a mother, is that they'll look back and see that you have been a mother of faith. And it will carry with them tremendous things in their life, a legacy. Paul says it's passed on. So you keep that. No matter how hard it is, you moms out there, you be mothers of faith and you be consistent. Keep the faith, fight the good fight, you know, pray over your kids, which I'm sure you do, and for them. It just becomes incredible what happens. So I just want to bless you as moms of faith and how that is passed on to your children in a moment of blessing. Many of us will learn and we will discover that and talk about generational curses, addictions and things that are passed on spiritually and emotionally from one generation to another. But I want you to please hear this. Generational blessings are also passed on, okay? Pay more attention to that, of how God breaks those strongholds and then moves us into covenant with Him. And then when that happens, you're going to be seeing generational blessings. So I hope you're blessed by that today. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Thank you for all that you do and who you are. I want to look at Luke 24, 48 for just a moment. This is a short verse, pretty easy to give to you. But Jesus is constantly saying, "You're going to be witnesses of mine." He says it to his disciples over and over. in different places and in different seasons of their life. But the word witness is a word that we get the word martyr from. And what it really means is when you become a witness of Christ, you're willing to die for it. It is such a part of your life that even death does not stop your faithfulness and your belief in him. He said it to his disciples, and they eventually got it because all of them but one died of natural or died of execution. Only one died of a natural cause. And in that, they died declaring that Jesus is Lord of their life. It's something that we believe in so much that we're willing, absolutely willing to die for it. It becomes incredible. And he says, you will be witnesses of these things. What things? What things are we talking about? Well, the life of Christ, the mission of Christ, the death, the sacrifice of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, that they have seen these things. And I want you to know that it was a criteria for them. I want you to look at Acts 1, verses 21 and 22 for a moment. This is when they're trying to replace Judas. Judas is removed from the 12 now. And they're looking to replace Judas. And I just want you to see what little bit of a job description they're giving on anybody that becomes part of the 12. Therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during this, the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. And then look at this timeline. Beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken from us, from among these, it is necessary that one become a witness with us of his resurrection. So in other words, we needed somebody who's witnessed these things to be a part of that. So he's saying, you'll be witnesses, and witness is just not, I'm one to occasionally throw out who the Lord is. The word witness means I'm stepping into such a relationship. The faith word that we use here is pisteo. It means I'm all in, absolutely all in, even unto death, I'm all in. I want you to look at verse 49 for just a moment. In Luke 24, 49, and he said, and look, I'm sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. Now you can look at this verse 49, and go, well, where does it mention the Holy Spirit in here? Well, definitely two times. We could give it a squeeze to get into three times, because he said, look, I am sending, and we'll look out of the Gospel of John where it says the Holy Spirit was sent. We see it in the mentioning of the Father promised, because it's referred to, the Holy Spirit being given is referred to the Father's promise. And then we go down to the word empowered from on high, which it can be a reference to the Holy Spirit. And he said, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I want you to notice this. And here's something you and I need to notice, that God's in the sending business. That's what he does. He sent his son, and then he turns right around and he sends us. You're going to be seeing the sending here right now, and you're going to be seeing it just a little bit later on. But here, it's a direct focus of the Holy Spirit, what my Father promised. Look at Acts 2:33 for just a moment. It said, therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. You see why it's referenced, the Father's promise. He has poured out what you both see and hear. Look at Acts 1, 4, and 5 for just a moment. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. How many of y'all have ever noticed that it says, Father? Is today the eureka moment in your life where you've discovered that the Holy Spirit being sent is referred to as the Father's promise? Because it is the Father's promise. But to wait for the Father's promise, this, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the Father's promise is the sending of the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 3:14 for just a moment. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Ephesians 1:13, you're going to go, am I ever going to stop? Not till I die, okay? Ephesians 1:13, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the, will you say that word? Promised Holy Spirit. So I want you to see what the Father's promise is, that he hasn't left us undone and he hasn't left us alone. We have the Holy Spirit to be able to guide us and lead us, fill us, and even to remind us. I don't know about you. In Baptist churches, you don't talk about the Holy Spirit too often. But I'm thankful for the person of the Holy Spirit. And remember, he's not a ghost, okay? He is a person. He's not just, he's not something, a figment of our imagination. He is equal with Christ and the Father. You can sound a little, man, that sounds like blasphemous. You know, that, but he's equal with them. And he's sent, and he is a person, and we speak to him, and he speaks to us. And he guides us and reminds us into all truth. So I just want you to know, I'm going to stop my sermon today and say, I'm thankful for the promised Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the gift that he is. I'm thankful for his presence. And I'm thankful for the empowering he can give us throughout all of our life. So in this verse, if we go back to verse 49, Luke 24:49, it says for them to be still, that what are they waiting on? For them to be still in the city. Now, when it says be still here, we're not talking about run and hide. We're talking about be ready. Be still, but be ready. Not be still and be a neutral. But be still and be ready for the Holy Spirit to be able to empower you. That they're waiting for this. They are to wait for this to happen. And the word empowered here means clothed. That you will put him on like you put on clothing. That you will wear him. You know, you're not going to find scripture where it says you put on you. I said this in some of our Wednesday night teachings. The worst line that I hear in our culture today is you do you. I'm called to be a preacher to tell you to not live that way. You put on him. You're clothed and empowered. It has the picture and the word of it being a garment. So what are we waiting on? We're waiting to put on him. We're waiting to wear him like you would wear a garment. And you have such a relationship with him that you and I have this new covering. And that's the covering of the Holy Spirit. That's why you're able to say in a very difficult time, when you may not have the scriptures around you, you may not have access to anything else, we refer to them as the spiritual 911s. What do I do? And the Holy Spirit that you're clothed in is able to guide you in those moments. It becomes a picture of that. So the empowering is coming from on high. It's happening from on high. It's heaven generated. And it's heaven sent. I'm a pastor. I'm not doing this because I can't do anything else. I'm doing this because he called me to do it. I'm much better at a lot of other things than I am at this. But I just want to tell you from my shepherd heart to you, I want this for you. I want this for you. And more than that, the Lord has promised that you can have it. It's just me and you learning how to live in it and be able to live with it. That becomes the issue that we're dealing with. So this empowering is another sending. I told you we had we had sending at the beginning, and we have it here a little bit later on at the end. But the picture is he sent the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is empowering me and you, and then the Holy Spirit is going to be able to send us. That this empowering is the sending early on is a promise of the Spirit, but the Spirit later on is a promise with the Spirit. One is of and one is with. And now we're in the with. We're able to live with him and learn and see what he does and how he leads and guides us. I want you to look for a moment as just a scriptural challenge in Zechariah 4:6. Many of you all know this, but I want to remind you. So he answered me. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by strength or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I just see a lot of people trying to create their own deal, trying to make it happen with their creativity and their ingenuity and their intellect, and maybe even just the happenstance. But he says he does it by his Spirit. When you even look at the creation of the world, and we all know it happened in and through Christ. All things were created by him. All things were created for him. Colossians 1. But it also says in those early verses of our Bible that the Spirit was moving across the water. So you're going, when is the Holy Spirit a part of? He's always been a part of it. He's always been a part of it. So it's when it says strength and might here, it really is a reference in this context to military force and manpower, where we have that. But he goes, that's not how I do it. Do you remember that one character in the Old Testament that was told to put an army together, and the Lord said, you have too many people, and he told him to dwindle it down? You know, I mean, what kind of war strategy is that? You know, you got too many. Let's get it down to this number. Because he wanted to show how powerful he is. How does he get things done? It's through the Spirit of God moving in and around his people. It just becomes this incredible, incredible kingdom movement. How do I get through spiritual issues that may seem difficult? How do I get through physical issues? How do I get through financial issues? How do I get through relational issues? How do I get through the greater emotional issues? How do I do that? How do we get through that? Man, I look back when Tom died in our life, and the only thing that carried us was the Spirit of God carried us. And it continues to his mother and his father. And our daughter, who was his wife, how do we get through? We look back and we rely, and God did this and God did this. You know, I've been down in my back, when that verse that says that we're tearing down on the outer man is tearing down every day, and I read in the Psalms just the other day, David said, "Lord, my bones ache," and I'm going, "Man, do I identify with these people?" You know. And Jesse, our drummer, and he has a landscaping, they came and mowed my yard. And say they did such a good job, I said, can you do it the whole month of May? You know, that doesn't mean anything to you. It means everything to me. I think God sent them. Do you know, how do we get through? It's because he empowers us. And that empowerment is on high. We often mention, my life would be better if I had this. And my life would be better if I had that. Or like, God, give me the increase that you're giving so-and-so. Or give me the wealth that you're giving so-and-so. Or I wish I had that family unit. Or we resembled them. That can happen all the time. But the point of it is, what we need is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take care of all those things. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. We get into James where it says, if you don't have wisdom, ask God to give it to you, and he gives it to you freely. And then James says in James 1 that he completes you so that you lack nothing. And look at all he's put together for us. And here's the shameful part, is you and I will go, he's never done anything for me. And I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. You've got to be joking. The Father's promise here in these two verses is absolutely incredible. And he empowers you not to just live your life, but to catapult you in a kingdom life. I asked Travis, we just baptized his daughter, their daughter, and we baptized them. It's grateful. We actually met over him wearing a t-shirt about deer feed. If you can believe that. Am I telling the truth, Travis? I saw his t-shirt and I go, man, that's good stuff right there. Not that I eat it, but that I use it on others. It started with that. It led to relationship. And then we saw them come to Christ, and now we're baptizing their daughter. Amen. So he called me the other day, and I asked his permission to say this. And we'll leave other names out of it except for one that's in our church. And he said, man, I want to run something by you, and I won't give you all the scenario, but from past storms, over the years, there was some trees that were down in a lady's yard, and she was not able physically or even financially to take care of them. And he comes to me and he goes, what do you think about us helping this lady? I knew the lady from a distance. I knew her. And I said, yeah, let's help. So we were able to connect some dots. We brought in Sean Rutherford. Sean is part of our disaster relief and happens to be a part of a chainsaw crew. Imagine that. So Travis was able to connect with Sean and then other people, and they were able to knock that thing out. And so I was sitting on the front row this morning talking to him after his daughter's baptism, asking permission to share this. But I said, I just want you to know, Travis, that was a kingdom thought that you had. And that thought didn't come from Travis. That thought came from the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be critical, and you'll judge me of telling this story, and you go, what does God have to do with a tree? And I just want you to know that part of God's initial plan had to do with a tree. And the picture of it is, as simple as that seems, and I just want to hear you as a pastor and a leader, that's where I'm trying to get you guys. Don't you look for me in this stage to start it. Because if the Holy Spirit generates that, then you move with it. And he put it together flawlessly for them. And I want to brag on Travis. I want to brag on Sean, because it was a kingdom thought that came into their mind, but it was the Holy Spirit who prompted it, and then there's ministry that occurred. That's a picture of just little bitty snapshots of just the kingdom life. And it all has to do with the gospel. And back to the word witness, that we'll be witnesses, we're willing to die for it. Look at Romans 1:16 for just a moment. And I don't think Vanessa's in this service. If she is, I haven't heard her yet. But when we were building this building, we came when it was all just two befores and structure being framed, and we came and we wrote scripture all over this place, and right about here. I saw Vanessa with a marker, and she wrote Romans 1:16 underneath the hardwood floor of this page. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. mentioning the Jew and the Greek, says it encompasses everyone. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll die for it. I'm all in.
That's right.
I mean, I think it's a very simple exchange, and that is, he gave his life for mine. Why can't I give mine back to him? And then he goes, Jephro, don't lean on your own understanding, Jephro. But trust me, I've promised you as your heavenly Father, a Holy Spirit who will guide you, not only a Son who saved you, but a Spirit that will guide you. And we won't do it by creative power. We won't do it by military might. And we won't do it by manpower. But we will do it by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to put on the Holy Spirit like I put on, I was going to say a sport coat, but I don't have that either, do I? But I wear him like a garment. And it's a new covering. I've taken off the old self and I've put on him. And he promised that he would give us that life. And as a witness to him, let's not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it's God's power for salvation on all of us. So be empowered today from on high. How are you going to do it? Being in this service? No. You're going to do it by wearing and being clothed in the Holy Spirit of God. He sent the Holy Spirit, and now that he sends us. Let's pray together, okay? Father, I thank you for our people this morning for being here. Thank you for Raylan giving her life to you and being a part of baptism, the witness of baptism. She gave a testimony today without saying a word that, Lord, she is identifying with your death and your burial, and she's raised into the newness of life only you can give. And then, Lord, we thank you for all that you've promised us. You've not left anything undone. It's not this or that that I need. It's I need to walk in the clothing and the empowering of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, breathe on us today, Lord. Holy Spirit, breathe on us today. And let us walk in that, knowing that you're here. And we can just walk and rest and eat and talk in assurance that you're walking with us, Father. And I thank you. Father, I thank you for the Father's promise. I thank you for the giving personal Holy Spirit to us. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, and we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand where you are? Counselors, would you find your spot here today? Will you do that? Drew, you come work the altar too. You let him come. Drew is on staff here, and his family's here, and we're going to put him to work. The invitation for you is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, come. You may be people pray for you, and over you, and with you. They're here for that. May you even pray, Lord, breathe your Holy Spirit on me. Are you going to run out of here and be a Pentecostal preacher? Probably not. But when the Lord goes and tells you to cut down a tree for a lady, you might go. It's the same thing. It's all kingdom work. And let's let him empower us to be sent into his kingdom. Amen? So you come. Let's be prayed for, be prayed with, be prayed over. You come. The team's going to lead us. You respond.